So we're going to read from Hebrews 12, verse 1 through to 13. It says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed." And then Hebrews 10 and 32 to 39 says, "But recall the former days, in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession for yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe to the saving of the soul." You and I are blessed this morning. We've been given by God's grace and by his mercy an amazing salvation. We've been given that pearl of great price. We've been brought into the glorious kingdom of God, and we're now adopted into God's family. We are sons and daughters of the living God. We've been bought with a heavy price, the precious blood of Jesus Christ, through which God has purchased us and cleansed us from all of our sin and iniquity. We've been forgiven, we've been made clean, we've been washed, our sins have been blotted out, we've been born again by the Spirit of God, we've been given a new heart and mind, we're new creations, born of God, we've gone from death to life, from being dead in trespasses and sins, to being raised with Christ and made alive. And it tells us in the Bible that we can do all things through Christ, who strengthens us. But paradoxically this morning, many times, we don't live in the great victory which Christ has won for us. We find ourselves feeling weak under the circumstances of life, and too many times we're defeated. We find ourselves weary of life's struggles, tired of the battle, worn down with the pressures of life. And instead of having God's peace ruling in our hearts, we have worry and anxiety. Instead of the joy of the Lord, we can feel depressed and even despairing at times. And instead of being full of faith, we're doubtful and cynical, and lack confidence. But the truth is, this morning, we are in a battle.
Yes.
It's a lifelong battle. It's a long haul that we're in. And sometimes that battle rages. And there's a battle that goes on both without and within. Between our will and God's will, between the flesh and the spirit. It's a daily battle. And there's much to stand in our way to try and oppose us and to tempt us and to cause us to stumble. And we're in a war. And in one sense, that victory was won, wasn't it, on the cross. But we have to live in the good of that victory that's been already accomplished for us. God's given us all the resources that we need to fight, to win the war, to live in the good of that victory. But so many times we fail to comprehend or live in the good of what God's done for us. Every day we have to make a choice, don't we? Am I going to obey God's will or do my will? Am I going to seek God or spend today in my own strength? Am I going to pray or am I going to fret? Am I going to despair or am I going to trust the living God? Am I going to praise God or am I going to complain and grumble about my lot in life? Am I going to be thankful or ungrateful? Am I going to indulge my pleasure or seek to please God? See, it's a choice, isn't it, we make serving God, and it's a daily choice. And sometimes we fail in that choice. But if our heart is right towards God, we'll keep on getting up every time we fall back, won't we? We'll run back to God to renew us again. And it's not an easy thing, this battle and this life that we're in. And, you know, there's not any of us here this morning, I'm sure, that has it all together. But we have to keep fighting, don't we? It's an endurance, it says in that scripture that we've just read. If it was easy, the Bible wouldn't describe it as a fight of faith, would it? A fight takes effort, it takes skill. Sometimes when you fight and you get bruised, occasionally you get knocked over or tripped up. But what really matters is, do we get up again? Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a righteous man may fall seven times and rise again." Psalm 37 and 23 to 24 says, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." See, if our hearts are right with God, then even if we do mess up, then we can run back to God and he'll pick us up. The worst response we can have is to withdraw ourselves from God. Because unless we're abiding in Christ daily, we will begin to wither and die. He is the vine, we are the branches. And unless we're abiding in that vine, that vital sap of the Holy Spirit is going to run dry in our life. We need the life of God. And if we're going to endure this long haul race that we're in and persevere, you know, it's going to take more than just us gritting our teeth, isn't it, and getting on with it. It's about remaining in God, the life of God, because that's what sustains us. That's where our strength lies. Without that, we are like Samson with his hair cut, weak and powerless. We need the life and the power of God in our lives, and we have to daily come to God for that fresh supply of his grace, that fresh supply of his mercy and his refreshment in the Holy Spirit, because we can't fight this battle on our own, can we? Jesus said, "Without me, you can do nothing." And this battle that we're in is a long haul battle, isn't it? It ain't over, as they say, until it's over. But it's not a battle we can fight one day and then not the next. We need to always be on our guard, don't we? There's so many scriptures about being diligent. We can't let things slip, because what happens when we do, we go backwards. We're on a lifelong road in serving God. We're called to be those that endure till the end, who are in it for the long haul. Jesus spoke about those who start to build but don't finish. It's not enough for us just to surrender once, or just to say a sinner's prayer, or to pay the price once. But it's continuance in the Christian life is what really counts. Get into the finish line. The Bible has a lot to say about continuance, about perseverance under trials, about persistence and endurance. It tells us that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Paul spoke about pressing on, forgetting those things which are behind, pressing towards, seeking to win the prize, completing the journey, finishing the course. Paul's desire was to get to know Jesus more and more. Our relationship with God should grow over time and not diminish. We should be gaining ground, not losing ground. We should be getting closer to God, not drifting away. You know, when a boat starts to drift, it soon loses its direction, doesn't it? When the currents are going the opposite way. We need to keep on going forward. And, you know, when we stand still as Christians, when we take our eyes off God and we put them on our circumstances, or we give in to the weight of pressure from life, instead of taking our burdens, as we were singing this morning, to the Lord, casting our cares upon Him, when we stop seeking God, when we grow weary of doing good, we begin to drift. We begin to go stale in our walk with God. We crumble under the burdens of life because we've taken ourselves away from the only one who can make us stand and give us that strength that we need. There's no easy solution to this tendency that's in all of us to get tired and grow weary, to lose heart. We're weak and feeble of ourselves. The only answer, and it may not be the one that we want to hear, is picking up the cross daily, self-denial, crucifying the flesh, dying to self. And that involves pain. We don't like to die. We like the us, the old us. We like our comfort. We like our false securities. We like our walls of protection. We like our independent spirit, our stubborn self-will. We don't like having to surrender. We have to let go of our own ego, don't we? Our self-centered life. And we have to do it daily if we want to get a hold of God. See, God can't help us until we want to be helped. He doesn't force His will upon us. He wants us to volunteer, to willingly surrender. That means having to choose to give up our rights, our independence, abandoning any hope of doing things in our own strength, having to sacrifice ourselves on that altar of obedience to God. So when we feel like a failure, we need to remind ourselves, yeah, in myself I am destined to fail, but in God's strength we can overcome. He can give us all the power and help that we need. Matthew 10:22 says, "He who stands firm till the end will be saved." You know, it would be easy if the Christian life was just a case of making one decision to believe upon Christ and then once saved, always saved, and you can confess His name and then your salvation is guaranteed. We all like a heavenly insurance policy, wouldn't we? You'd be mad not to. Yeah. But when we get saved, that's only the beginning of the road. That's when you step onto the way. But you need to stay on the way. Stay on that narrow path. Jesus said, "Not everyone who says, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of God, those who endure till the end." Saying a prayer of repentance was only the beginning of the salvation. We were saved, but we are also being saved. And if we continue to the end serving God, we will be saved. Amen. Salvation is by faith alone. It is the gift of God's grace. It is freely bestowed upon those who believe upon Jesus and act upon faith. It can't be earned. But of course, when we get saved, this is just that beginning of a lifelong walk of following and obeying Christ. Faith isn't just a one-off act, but it's a daily life of trusting in and obeying the living God. Life is often a struggle, isn't it? If we were honest, sometimes it feels like an effort just to motivate ourselves to get out of bed in the morning. Sometimes we dread the day ahead, but we have to put aside our feelings, don't we, and walk by faith, trusting in and obeying God, doing what God shows us. We're in that daily battle with the flesh, and we need to be daily filled with the Spirit if we're going to overcome. Matthew 25, verse 1 to 13. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you do not know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." You see, it's in the continuance of faith where the real test lies for us. The keeping on day after day, living by faith, being filled with the Spirit daily, the continuance in watching and praying, in keeping our lamps trimmed and burning and full with oil, not being like the foolish virgins who let their lamps run dry. An oil lamp has to be continually topped up. The wick has to be trimmed, and if you stop, then the light will eventually burn out. If we don't maintain our walk with God, that light will go out. We will become ineffective. Without the oil of the Holy Spirit filling us and renewing us, we will eventually wither and die. We can't slow down. We can't take a break from the Christian life. We are in a warfare, and in war, all leave is cancelled. We have to watch every day. We have to be sober every day. Be diligent every day. Pray every day. Fight every day. Flee from sin every day. Draw near to God every day. Walk by faith every day. Meditate upon God's word every day. We can't opt out for a while or take a holiday from this because we're feeling weary and down or fed up. We've got to put aside our feelings and put ourselves on the altar of sacrifice and live to Christ. We can be so inconsistent, can't we, at times? So fickle, easily distracted. But if we want to finish the race that's set before us, we have to endure till the end. Press on to receive the prize. Fight that good fight of faith. We have to overcome, to put aside every obstacle and the weight. And it says the sin that so easily ensnares us. And it tells us in Scripture this means patience in trials, perseverance and endurance. But it's not like we're fighting in our own strength, is it? It's not about being the tough guy who just gets on with the job. We have Christ's strength to help us. We don't carry the load ourselves, but we do have to keep on walking step by step towards that finishing line. 1 Philippians 3:14 says, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." One of the enemy's big tactics is to wear us down, to make us weary. You know, there's all time, we all, I'm sure, have had times in our Christian life where we feel stagnant, where like nothing's happening, where we're almost stuck in the mud, to coin a phrase, in that wilderness place. And it's in these times that our faith gets tested. Will we continue to trust God when we're faced with difficulty and hardship? It's easy to trust God when everything's going well, isn't it? When the blessings are flowing, when all is good. But it's in the place of hardship that really tests our faith and sees whether it's genuine or shallow. 2 Timothy 2:3 says, "Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We all love it when life runs smoothly, when everything's predictable, when we're being blessed. It's easy to praise God then and rejoice in salvation. But when we're struggling, when we face disappointments, setbacks, injustices, persecutions, rejections, and plain old bad luck, not that we believe in luck, but when bad things happen to us, as they sometimes do, that's when we find out whether we really trust God. whether we really believe God's word. That's when our true colours show, when we're put to the test. And God does allow us to be tested, doesn't he? He allows trials to come our way. He allows adversity to affect us. He allows us to be in circumstances we can't understand or explain. He allows us to face problems or even just drudgery. Because without a struggle, we'll never grow in the Lord. We'd never move on. Our faith would never mature. James 1, 2-4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." If you want to be mature and complete in Christ, not lacking anything, you know, we all talk about maturing and getting full stature in Christ. It's only achieved through the testing of our faith, through trials, which will bring about perseverance, which must finish its work, it says, so that we can be mature and complete. So if we're praying this morning to grow in the Lord and to reach maturity, you better expect some trials to come your way, because that's the only way we can mature. See, God wants a people who will serve him whatever the weather's doing out there, through the good and the bad, when it's boring and when it's exciting, when feelings are there and when they're not there. Consistent, reliable, faithful people who keep on keeping on. You know, we can't be like spiritual yo-yos. We need to be consistent in our walk with God. Not here one day, gone the next. No perseverance, no sticking at it, no loyalties. No, only around when things are interesting or when it suits. God wants a people who are faithful, who weather the storms, who are there in times of lack and times of plenty, when life is smooth and rough, who understand that they're in a warfare and that sometimes you're going to get injured and wounded, but you still have to fight. There's no place for surrender, is there? And only surrender to God, not to your circumstances. Just quickly read Matthew 13, 18-23. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. You know, we want to be good soil this morning, don't we, on our hearts? Those that have heard and understood God's word are those who produce the fruit. But those who received the word with gladness, it says, but when persecutions, when trials arose, they fell away. They didn't endure. Only those where the hearts were good soil endured and was able to bear long-lasting fruit. But if we're firmly rooted in our faith and built upon truth in our lives, we will stand and not fall when the storms of life choose to blow. It's easy serving God, as we said, when life's easy, when the blessings are flowing and the problems are few. But it's when it gets tough, isn't it? That's when our faith's put to the test. You know, the real us is who we are when no one else is watching. It's easy to be a good, committed Christian when men's eyes are on you. But how do we live and act when we're out of sight? Do we still serve God? Do we still walk in the Spirit? Or do we let it all hang out, so to speak? See, we're called, aren't we, as we've said many times from here, the doers of the word, not hearers only. James 1:22, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. We need to be those who hear the word of God and put it into practice. And that's what living by faith really is. It's not feelings, not emotions, not wishful thinking or positive confession, but hearing the word of God and enacting it. And we only grow and mature when we apply truth to our lives, when we act upon faith. And true faith does endure. You only have to read Hebrews chapter 11 to see that faith endures and overcomes adversity. Some were sawn in two because they dared to believe God. They endured even death because they believed that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God rewards those who diligently seek him. They didn't see all the promises in this life. It says they died having not received the promises. But they knew God was faithful and so didn't give up or give in. We're called to persevere, not to be those that quit at the first hurdle. It says in the scripture, Luke 18:1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And he then goes on to teach that parable of the unjust judge and the persistent widow. And at the end, he ends with this statement, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? There's a great link between persistence in prayer and faith, not giving up. Faith doesn't quit. It continues to believe God, even when God delays answering. Paul called the Christian life a race. We're in the race. The prize is Jesus Christ. But to qualify for that prize, we have to finish the race. The devil puts obstacles in our way that wear us out, that cause us to lose heart. He'll use the weapons of discouragement to drain us. He wants us to feel that we can't go on or things can't change. He wants to make us lose heart. It's hard to look up to God when you're weighed down with burdens and circumstances. Sometimes the weights are of our own making, of course. We make foolish decisions without consulting God. Then afterwards we've got to face consequences of those decisions. But the devil likes to rub your nose in your mistakes, doesn't he? He wants us down. He wants us depressed. He wants us feeling hopeless. It's how we deal with mistakes that really matters. If we learn from them, if we're honest with God about them and repent, then God will pick us up. Yes, amen. It doesn't always mean he gets us out of the consequences, though. But he does give us the grace we need to get through them. Yes. Hebrews 12 and 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The race has been marked out for us. We've been shown the way. We just need to do it. Scripture says to lay aside every weight. If anything in our life is hindering our walk with God, we have to lay it aside. We have to make our walk with God number one priority. And the verse goes on to say about the sin which so easily entangles us. We all have weaknesses this morning. Some of us are more prone to certain sins than others. It says the sin that so easily besets us, and that word beset means to attack from all sides or to trouble persistently and harass. And there's sins and temptations that trouble us persistently, that attack us from all sides and harass us. We have to guard against our weak areas. And if we do sin, we need to deal quickly with it and lay it aside. We need to lay aside all sin. And it says then to run with patience the race that is set before us. It's going to take patience. It's going to take perseverance and persistence. Many others have gone before us and completed this journey. And they spur us on. We're surrounded, aren't we, by a great cloud of witnesses, encouraging us to reach the finish line. It'd be a shame, wouldn't it, to get so far and yet not finish the race, to be disqualified. Yet so many these days are doing just that, throwing in the towel before the end of the race. Somehow, somewhere, along the way, they've lost sight of Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. It's interesting that, isn't it, that Jesus is the author of our faith, but he's also the finisher of our faith. It's Jesus who enables us to have faith and to act in faith, and it's Jesus who'll complete the work he's begun in us if we allow him to. He says he'll never, never leave us, never, never forsake us. He'll see us through till the end if we'll continue. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus who walks with us day by day. It's Jesus who carries the load with us, if we're yoked to him. There used to be a famous study book, I think it was Selwyn Hughes, Every Day with Jesus. And that's what our life should be, isn't it? Every day with Jesus. We shouldn't have days apart from him. We shouldn't face trials alone. We should face life hand in hand with our God and Saviour by our side. That's how we endure hardship. That's how we persevere in adverse circumstances. That's how we find strength to face each day and get through the problems that life throws at us. Every day with Jesus. And it is a day by day walk, isn't it? One day at a time. We're told, aren't we, not to worry about tomorrow, that each day has sufficient trouble of its own to contend with. You know, the past is gone, the future yet to come. But here you and I are in the present, with Jesus giving us the strength and the power to live moment by moment. See, the life of God is here for us now, isn't it? It's not just for the sweet by and by, but there's life for our mortal bodies now, here in the present. And it's that life that sustains us, that renews us, that strengthens us for the battle and rekindles our hope and faith. Our part is to keep making the right steps, the right decisions, continuing in what's been taught and heard from the Spirit of God through his word, continuing to do those things that God has shown us, to be doers of the word, to grow in faith and knowledge and love for one another in unity of the Spirit, to be built up together in the faith, as the scripture says in Ephesians 4:13, until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. We're in a long haul journey. It started when we got saved. It'll continue till we're with the Lord, either by rapture or by death, whatever comes first. But it shouldn't daunt us. It's a day by day walk, one day at a time, forgetting those things which are behind, as Paul says, I press on toward the prize. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. We all have the power that we need to live day by day in the Lord. We just need to tap into that, not let our lamps run dry. Continually be filled with the Spirit. Continually feed on the word and walk in the truth that we have. And when the Lord returns, we'll be those that will be found faithful then. We'll be hopefully the wise virgins. With our lamps filled with oil, we'll have endured till the end and we'll receive our reward. And seeing Jesus is reward enough to finish the race, to complete the journey. We're already on the road. We've already entered eternal life. We already have eternal life if we're with Jesus, but we need to continue in it until the end, to be those that have overcome the world, the flesh and the devil, to keep on keeping on, because it ain't over until it's over. Amen. Let's pray.